The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Well, since the start of the pandemic, there has been a surge in online shopping and orders. Amazon has benefited massively. Its revenue has gone up by around 80 billion euro. And Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, his net worth has gone up by about $29 billion since the start of the year. Our next guest has written a book on Bezos. He says the Amazon boss stresses to colleagues that the company could implode any day. And he looks at the range of sectors Amazon is targeting, from transport to healthcare. We caught up with Brian Domain, author of Bezonomics, earlier, and I first asked him, is it all about the money for Jeff Bezos, or what is it that motivates him?
Part of it is pride. He's a perfectionist, but there's another reason. It has nothing to do with money whatsoever. Ever since Bezos was a kid, he was fascinated with outer space, and now he's created a space company called Blue Origin. He owns it personally. It's not part of Amazon. But he sells $1 billion of his Amazon stock every year in order to fund Blue Origin. And the reason he's so obsessed with space, and I think it's the true motivation for creating Amazon so he'd have a way to fund his space projects, is that he believes it's the only way to save mankind. Now, this sounds kind of either pompous or ridiculous, depending on your point of view. But he believes as our population grows, we just don't have the resources to feed and clothe and shelter all of those people. So his idea is to rezone Earth as sort of a residential and light industrial zone and take all our heavy manufacturing and mining to outer space. But to do that, you have to have a cheap way to get to outer space. So he's designed these reusable rockets. You can fire them into space and they'll return, and that's cutting the cost of space travel.
When you look at that idea that he has, he's certainly not suffering from acute modesty. Is this just a fantasy, do you think, Brian? And ultimately, the $1 billion a year in stock that he sells to fund it, it's toys.
It could end up being that. But what you have to remember about Bezos is he's a long-term thinker. He thinks in terms of decades and centuries, even. I mean, he's certainly not going to colonize space, but he might start a trend where space travel becomes more and more affordable. And maybe by the next century, there'll be entrepreneurs who are actually figuring out how to do this.
What about his background, Brian? His mom was a teenager when she had him, and it was a kind of an interesting family story.
His biological father was named Jorgensen, not Bezos. And he was a unicyclist who performed at county fairs. He left when Jeff was very young, and then his mother remarried Mike Bezos, who's a Cuban immigrant. And I was thinking, how does a person who has a teenage mother and a father who's a unicyclist who disappears when he's young, how does that person grow to run an organization like Amazon with 800,000 people and a market value of $1.2 trillion. However, his grandfather, Pop Geis, played a huge role in his early life. Jeff would spend summers with him on his ranch in Texas called the Lazy G. His grandfather turned out to be a very influential man. He ran the atomic energy labs for the federal government in the United States, the famous Los Alamos labs. And he had some 26,000 employees under him, and he had access to the nation's most advanced and secretive technology. And his grandfather would sit around and tell him stories about missile defense systems that they were developing during the Cold War with Russia. And this has made Jeff one of the most pro-government among all the big tech companies in Silicon Valley. And he seems kind of proud of that.
It's interesting, when he started the company, particularly in the early days, he was laying down a bit of a marker about the way he wanted things to be. So employees used to have these contracts that actually flagged up that it was going to be a very stressful job, and don't sue us for the stress.
Look, Amazon is not for everyone. It's what we call an up or out culture. You either keep performing or you're grass to weave, basically. Part of that is because Bezos has a great yearning to discover the truth.
If you want to find the truth in an organization that you run, if it's particularly if it's a very large organization, you just go to the shop floor unannounced, show up, have a look around, and then ask some of the lowest paid employees you have to tell you the truth about what's going on. So if he was really interested in the truth within the organization, he could do that. Yet Amazon seems to get caught in all these controversies about how poorly it sometimes treats its staff.
Bezos is so focused on the customer, and he'll dig for the truth about what the customer wants, what the customer needs, that sometimes the employee gets forgotten in this. It was interesting recently, you know, since the pandemic, Bezos actually visited one of his warehouses to, you know, see what was going on. And that was, to me, somewhat of an oddity. I mean, I hadn't really heard of that happening much before. But I think he's trying to shift a bit because he's come under this intense scrutiny, both in the press and in politics. So, you know, we might, looking forward, see a bit of a sea change in this.
Now he's also moving into other areas, healthcare, banking. Are there any sectors that are safe from Amazon?
Yes, there are a few. I don't think they're going to go into heavy manufacturing, although they have made some big investments in electric and self-driving vehicles. I think if you've got a business that has a lot of personal service or handholding to it, I don't think people who, you know, run restaurants will have to worry about Amazon. They have bigger things to worry about with this pandemic. But, you know, finance is vulnerable, insurance is vulnerable. Any industry where, you know, prices are high and service is not great is vulnerable to Amazon. I think medicine is going to be another business for them. Take telemedicine, for example, which, you know, as we've seen because of this pandemic, is becoming more popular. I mean, the way telemedicine can work at Amazon is it would be Alexa-based. In other words, you know, you might be walking around your home and you might cough, and Alexa actually has a patent to recognize the sound of a cough. And Alexa might say to you, well, are you feeling under the weather? And you say, yes, I'd like to see my doctor. So Alexa will set up an appointment with your doctor. And when the time comes, the doctor pops up on your screen of your Amazon Echo Show. And then the doctor said, well, do you have a sore throat? And you say, yes. Well, today you can order a strep throat test from Amazon. So you test yourself and it comes positive, and the doctor says, well, you need some antibiotics for your sore throat. And then Amazon will deliver those drugs to you within a few hours. A few years ago, they bought a company called PillPack, which is an online pharmacy company, so they have that capability.
How do you regulate in the future a business that, you know, has an Alexa that can hear that you have a cough and that then says you maybe need to see a doctor, I'll book a doctor's appointment, then it starts selling you the cough medicine, then the doctor is prescribing you pills, you don't know whether they're Amazon pills or whether they're being totally independent about it? That just sounds like a regulatory and consumer affairs nightmare.
Well, you know, Alexa last year was granted HIPAA status in this country. That's a patient privacy regulation. It's a very tough hoop to jump through for companies. So, yeah, look, we need a certain level of regulation for these new services and these new technologies. There's no question about that. On the other hand, you don't want to bury innovation with too many regulations.
When you put it all together, Brian, and you look at it and you project into the future that this idea that they can be involved in so many things, does the company need to be broken up, do you think?
Well, I took a hard look at that, and the test in the United States is, does a company hurt customers, right? Do they have so much power that they're price gouging or they're, you know, limiting selection? And you really can't make that argument with Amazon. If anything, they're beloved by their customers. There was a poll that Georgetown University did. You know, Americans just love Amazon more than most other institutions. I mean, among Republicans, only the military and local police came in above Amazon in terms of institutions they trust. Among Democrats, Amazon was number one. I mean, it was more popular than the Supreme Court, than Congress, than religion.
Brian Demain, author of Bezonomics there.